Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me this week as we dive into God's Word and ask the question, what is God saying to me and what am I doing about it? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to me through God's Word? And this week, as we gather together, we are enjoying the Easter season. We're in our first week after Easter. We're done with Lent. It feels so good to be done with Lent and celebrating and living in the joy of the Lord and this reality that Christ is risen from the dead. And as we enter into this week, friends, I want to encourage you with something that we've talked about so much on this show, which is living in this reality that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And this is a time liturgically where it's appropriate to do so. We have all the momentum of the church behind us to say, really, how do I practically live in this reality? I just spent all of Lent preparing myself to receive the risen Lord in a new way. So now how does this affect how I walk, how I talk, how I live? Easter is not just one Sunday where we dress up in nice clothes and get Easter baskets and go to a really long mass and we celebrate and have ham and we're like, yay, this is so great. And then we kind of go back to the mundaneness of our lives. We're meant to live in the joy of the Lord, because Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, makes me fully alive in Christ. This is a reality that wants to affect you today. That Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, remember, this is the central point of Peter's preaching. This is the central point of the preaching of the apostles, that Jesus Christ died and death no longer reigns over him. That because he's risen from the dead, death no longer reigns over you, over I, but your eternal destiny is changed from eternal death to eternal life in Christ Jesus. So ask yourself, did I just go back immediately this Easter Monday to the spirit of Lent? Did I have like one celebration day? And obviously this is practically, of course, how am I celebrating, but how has the resurrection actually changed my heart to live in the reality of the gospel? Because this is what Christ is calling us to live in joy as Christians. So I want to invite you into that in this Easter season. And the passage I want to dive into today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I love this title, Proclaiming Christ Crucified. But the central piece of this passage is that the wisdom of God is Christ crucified. And we know that and we see that because the Spirit of God reveals this to us. And so we're going to focus heavily on the Spirit of God. And what's so interesting is after Easter, these weeks of readings really focus on Acts. And so all of a sudden we skip ahead to Acts and we skip ahead to the founding of the early church and Pentecost and the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's Easter and Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And then the church through the readings is giving us a glimpse of what is possible through the resurrected Lord and through the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is saying, hey, these readings, the early church, this is what's normal for the body of the church. This is what's normal for the body of believers. This is how you are to live. This is how you are to move. This is how you are to follow Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to focus in on the Holy Spirit and on the true wisdom of God. So we're going to read some actually big chunks. I'm hoping to get through a good amount, actually this whole chapter. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read a chunk, focus on that chunk today. We're going to hopefully read a new chunk tomorrow, a new chunk the next day, and just keep going and building on what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So if you'll join me in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would just settle our minds and our hearts. That you would just give us space right now, make room in our hearts, make room in our minds to receive more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. I just feel as we're praying here at the beginning of this week that the Spirit of God is just bringing just a calming presence. is just bringing you peace amidst the busyness of your life. Just invite you to take a deep breath, that wherever you are right now, whether you're driving kids to school, whether you're folding laundry, whether you've had a peaceful, quiet day, that the Holy Spirit is just making space for God. Come, Holy Spirit. Make space for Jesus in our hearts. And we ask this all through your most holy name. Amen. Just at the beginning of this week, and always after a holiday, I feel like there's kind of like this level of craziness. And sometimes my heart, because my schedule, does anyone else's schedule move at 100 miles a minute, 1,000 miles a minute? And I'm just honestly, friends, I've been in a season where I felt like from the second I wake up in the morning to the second I go to bed, I've had something going. And those of you who have children, I don't have children, but my life is like that crazy. But those of you who have children, you're like, yeah, trust me, I know. And I just felt at the beginning of this week that as we dive into God's word, that the Holy Spirit just wanted to bring just a sense of calm, even if you're in a storm, even if you're in a crazy time, that no matter what your circumstances are, your circumstances don't have to slow down for your heart to slow down. And that there's actually a rhythm, a pace today and this week that Jesus wants to walk in this pace with you, but we have to find his pace. Right? He doesn't catch up to our pace. He doesn't want to run in a particular way with us. He doesn't want us to run ahead of him. He wants us to find his pace so we can walk with him. So let's read God's word. We're going to read the first paragraph of 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And we're going to talk about that today and see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Paul says this, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And let's stop there. And I want to just start with this. Paul's saying he's writing to the Corinthian, the church in Corinth, which is a massive church. It's a massive church. It's a big, booming church. It's growing. And Paul is writing to them. And he's saying, look, when I came to you, when I came and visited you, when I brought the gospel to you, I wasn't coming with all of these lofty words of wisdom. And Corinth, it was a major Greek city, kind of located on this strip of land connecting to the mainland of Greece. It was this wealthy, cosmopolitan trade hub. It's full of merchants, sailors, travelers, diverse cultures. It was known for luxury, immorality, and pagan worship. In a particular way, it was known for the temple of Aphrodite, which is the goddess of love. There was a lot of pagans there with non-Jewish backgrounds, Greeks, right, who were studying, people from diverse countries. There was a lot of confusion about sexual immorality. And so Paul is referring to when he came and founded the church in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And we know that he stayed there about 18 months, preaching and forming the community. And so he's saying, send some key converts. You might recognize them. I think this is important. Aquila and Priscilla, they were a couple that were leading the church in Corinth. And so Corinth is this booming metropolis. And he's saying, when I came to you, I was just this poor, weak man. I came to you. I came to, like, think of like New York City or think of like Miami. He said, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom. So first I want to focus in on that phrase, the testimony of God. And so Paul's saying, when I've come all these other times, I'm proclaiming the testimony of God. This is the centrality of the proclamation of the testimony, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched, what we know of God from our own experience. And the testimony of God is what? Is Jesus Christ. The one who's came down to earth, who's died and rose again. And so he's like, I didn't come explaining the testimony of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. He didn't say, gather around and listen to how eloquent I'm going to be. Listen to how much I'm going to convince you with my words. And he's saying this, right? Because it's the center of trade. It's like going to like all these high level intellectuals in New York City or at Oxford in some place and being like, you know what? I'm just going to show you my weakness. And I think this is a conviction for us to say, we don't have to make the testimony of God interesting. We don't have to make it make sense to people. We don't have to say, oh, well, this person's really smart, or this person's really fancy, or this person's really rich. So this is not going to be of interest to them in plain words. And so we have to kind of dress it up. We have to dress to impress when it comes to the gospel. And I just find this really convicting. Says, I didn't come with lofty words or wisdom. I wasn't trying to convince them in the way of the world. How often are we trying to make the gospel appealing with the ways of the world? He says this, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just find this to be so beautiful. I was preaching on this last night. This has just become such a conviction of my own conviction. I'm like, okay, I don't need lofty words. I don't need to convince. I don't need to be an eloquent orator, all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying that's bad, but Paul's saying, I came among you, and in this place of immorality, this place of moral looseness, this place of diversity, this place of non-Jews, of pagans, of different idol worship, I came in what I decided to focus on, what I decided to make the aim of my heart was Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. And Paul's saying this, what he shows us is this is the testimony of God. The testimony of God is Jesus and Jesus crucified. And I'm concerned, friends, that we get away from Jesus Christ crucified. This is the very testimony of Jesus. His blood speaks a better word, and you can't have his blood without his crucifixion. And I think so often, we try to use worldly means and worldly ways, and we cross over to being worldly, and we think we need to be cunning, and we think we need to be convincing, and we think we need to be cool. I had an experience where someone was asking me a lot of really different high-level intellectual questions about the Bible and about all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I was like, oh, I was getting so discouraged because I was like, I'm answering them terribly. I'm answering them so badly. I don't know anything. And the Lord was like, say your testimony. And I ended up saying the real question, the central question, all of these are interesting questions, but the central question is, who was Jesus Christ? Was he crucified, and did he rise from the dead? This is what we're proclaiming, Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. He says, my speech and my message were not in these amazing words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. That, friends, when we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, when we stick to Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, when we don't try to make it make sense, when we don't try to make it attractive, when we don't try to dumb it down for the world, the Spirit of God begins to work and moves in power. And it's so much better, so much more powerful, so much more potent than anything I can do and control myself. And so today, make it your aim, make it simple, get simple. And the simplicity of the testimony of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I want you to reflect on that today. Let's make that our heart today. Let's make that our vision today. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.